My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons. Everyone, welcome to a new episode of Pixels and Polygons. I've gonna do something different here and combined my planned episode for last week. Apologize for the delay. It was the holidays, you know. I needed to either cram it in during Christmas or figure I'd give myself some time and let it breathe and release it this week with the episode. And so that's what I'm gonna do. But the 2024 Papas, the Pixels and Polygons Awards, they're not forgotten. I'm gonna do that here at the top. And then at the end of the Papas, we will move into a new standard episode with a returning guest from the original early days of the show. The early days, I mean, March and April of 2024. But back when I was first rolling out the podcast, my friend Jeff is back on the show. So we talk about some fun stuff. What is a GOAT game that we've never played and why? So went back to a classic question too. So fun to answer that and hear that. So great to have Jeff back on again, and great to get back into the regular episode formats. So that will be after the 2024 Papas. So just for the business up front, couple updates on the retro game scene front. That is now available for sale for everyone on physically. You can get it through pixelsandpolygons.net. You can find that website in the show links below. I've got the limited stock. I got a decent number of copies, but it is a limited stock of that print run available to buy. $10 for the first issue. It will be the January issue, and we'll kind of roll out for the rest of the year and see where we go from there. But it covers all of the It Came from the Desert classic PC game, game's history, some personal essays, a review of the game, some archival kind of like images and photos from the game, some screenshots, all cool in like a little mini zine format about a single game. So it's a micro magazine, a micro look at a single game spread out issue by issue. So read more about it on pixelandpolygons.net. You can buy it digitally on my Patreon page. There's a shop tab on the Patreon page. Digitally, it's like $3. So you can get that instantly delivered to you from Patreon as well. On the Patreon front, I've done 2 months now of the review of the month, like postcards for like the retro game, like reviews I've done there. So if you're wanting to join up, it is not too late to do so to get the January postcard. I'll be sending those out at the end of the month. That's $5 a month of support. Goes towards like me with like the like web hosting costs for like the website, the podcast hosting fees and all that stuff, things that kind of help keep all of my projects and creative stuff funded and going. Like your support goes a long way. But if not, the Patreon also has a free tier to follow where I have like writing and original articles in between projects and things all posted up there, plus sneak peeks and looks at upcoming stuff that I'm working on. So yeah, patreon.com/Darren Hupke, pixelsandpolygons.net. The retro game scene's available now, physically and digitally. And I should have some information on the Beat 'em Up Volume 1 here in the next couple of days. I submitted the Kickstarter page for review, so that's going to be coming to Kickstarter here in January. And I've got that essentially 95% locked down. Just looking to add some bonus content to it from another contributor. But yeah. A lot of stuff cooking for the Pixels and Polygons umbrella of content, and it's been fun, but that's all for the business. So without further ado, cue in the edited fanfare and applause, and cue in all of the sound effects for the Pixels and Polygons Awards 2024, the Papas. I've made up, let's see, how many categories we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 categories here with some nominees, and I'll reveal the winners. We'll do have some fun with that and then get into that main episode. But the inaugural Papas, you know, we're going to look back on this and think about, you know, how we, the foundations and the roots of this probably, you know, significant and the important award show are going to be remembered. And they all started here. So we're making history having this award show available to y'all here. So the first annual Papas, let's get right into it. First category, best game I played this year that was released in a different year. So if you're a fan of the Into the Aether podcast, it's one of my favorite gaming podcasts as well. They call these the Go Toys, the games of the other years. So this is a game that was not released on 2024, but a game that was released in a prior year that I have that I had played through again or continue to play or whatever it may be. But the best game I played this year that was released in a different year. So the nominees are Final Fight, Vampire Survivors, Gran Turismo 7, and Fist of the North Star Lost Paradise. And the winner? Gran Turismo 7. I don't know what made me get back into Gran Turismo 7. I had my PSVR 2 and everything, and you know, I used it a little bit, but was just collecting dust. I ended up putting it up on Facebook Marketplace and sold it, and I had like downloaded the updates to Gran Turismo 7 to maybe get one more like VR race in and kind of check it out. But that just reminded me of like how much I did enjoy like the realistic racing sim and the loop that it has of like the cafe, you know, three race circuits that you'll go through, get some unlocks. I like the car and like history of like the manufacturers, like brands and car lines and everything. Like, there's a lot there. It's just got like a fun loop. It does remind me a lot of like the original, like 1 and 2, but just done in a really pretty way. And then sprinkle on top of that, that I got that PS5 Pro and I really wanted to make sure I was, you know, trying out and pushing it through its paces and seeing the best visuals I could. I definitely played a lot more Gran Turismo 7 than I thought I was going to this year. And I had like a nice little reignited spark of playing some of that. So Gran Turismo 7. Congrats. Best game I played this year that was released in a different year, 2024. Next up, best use of nostalgia that definitely pandered to my childhood. So the nominees are Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Astro Bot, and Dragon Quest III HD 2D. The winner, Astro Bot. I mean, hands down, like that's got to be it. Like, all of the PlayStation franchises, all the little, you know, saved bots that all appear back at your little hub worlds, all the ridiculous, like, gotcha items you unlock to finalize their animation and their little hangout that they have around that kind of center land. It's just super cool. Like, seeing all that PlayStation stuff, it just scratches the itch I want out of a game, or out of a game pandering to my nostalgia anyway. Like, it's just a big giant love letter to the PlayStation brand. So 100% right up my alley. Love like all those HD 2D and like those 3D / sprite based RPG throwbacks, you know, Octopath Traveler 2, Eden Chronicles, things like that. Dragon Quest 3 was fantastic. Love that game start to finish. So that was awesome. And Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, I mean, that was a great game. And I enjoyed it up until like hour 80, and that's when I kind of just had to kind of push through to the end because maybe it became too much. But it still ultimately is an amazing package overall, but did remind me so much of being able to see the original game just blown up and evolved. So a lot of nostalgia points there, but Astro Bot is the winner for me. Best game I didn't get to play, but really wanted to for 2024. It's going to be UFO 50, 1,000 Times Resist, and Metaphor ReFantazio. I'm going to go with UFO 50 on this one. I've spoken about it on a couple recent episodes. That is a game that is not on PlayStation hardware, and I hope it comes to the PlayStation. Obviously, PC players are able to enjoy the hell out of that cool meta-contextual, like, story, false history of this game company that wasn't in their, you know, and this anthology release of their, you know, games and all the different genres and styles and quality. Like, it just seems like this really cool package that I know I'm gonna just, like, love the hell out of, but I have not been able to play it yet, and I really want to. Metaphor, I've purchased. I just need to boot it up, but I'm committed to not overbuying and overloading myself with games, so I want to finish up Fantasian, and then I really probably should go back and make sure I finish up Persona 3 Reload, but then Metaphor will be there waiting for me eventually for my next break or next lull, and be able to slot in a giant RPG into that. And then 1,000 Times Resist, I've just heard amazing things about it, and I really want to dabble into that, but you know, that's the category. Best game I didn't get to play but really wanted to. So, well, maybe I'll get around to that one too. Next category, the 2024 Papas. Best roguelike poker game of the year. Balatro. That's it. It's just the... of all the roguelike poker games I played this year, that one takes the cake for sure. There wasn't even a reason to put other nominees on there. Like, that was the one. Amazing game. Amazing game. Game I brought up and spoke about too much on the show. Nominees are Shenmue, Crazy Taxi, Harvest Moon, and Final Fantasy VII. The original, if we want to clarify. And the winner of the game I brought up and spoke about too much, Shenmue. Even when it wasn't a topic of the episode, or even if it wasn't a game that was in discussion, I feel like I brought this one up the most. Like, I kept kind of tying back to or sharing about how something compared to or reminded me of, or when talking to somebody in their answer for the episode question, kind of shoehorning in like a Shenmue story. It just felt like I did. I may not have actually spoke about it too much, but it felt like I did. And yeah, Final Fantasy VII, I think, would be a close second there for sure. Two more categories. This one has data and actual science behind it. This isn't just a joke or a feel good or an arbitrary just picked thing just to have it, but the most popular episode of the year. So the nominees are episode 29, least favorite 2 with Gooey and McKenna, the Flashback 64 crew. Episode 1, the original episode, Hardware 1 with Brian and Jeff. Or episode 30, Hardware 5, with Aiden and Austin. All great guests, all great episodes. I mean, I might be biased here, but I think they all three were standout. But according to the download metrics on my RSS.com hosting page, the most downloaded episode of these in the last year was Hardware 5 with Aiden and Austin. Yeah, that's that was a question where we answered our favorite console or our favorite system, I believe. I don't think that was the console story one. So maybe that question was popular. Yeah, I don't know the reason for it, but that was the most downloaded episode. So appreciate every guest that was willing to do the show and for coming back. I mean, essentially everyone, there was no one and dones. Everyone came back for multiple episodes and will hopefully continue to come back for more. I appreciate talking to y'all. So congrats, episode 30. Last category and last award for the 2024 Pixels and Polygons Awards. The Papa for my personal favorite game of the year. I really wanted to just have some fun categories and just kind of be silly about it, because I really don't care for award shows or things. I love people sharing their lists and their favorites and their best ofs and things like that. But when it turns into like we should all care about some other people's opinions and unanimously agree about some type of like game. Like, you know, they all scratch different itches for all of us. So there's no way to have a unanimous choice or anything, but your favorite or to share your opinion. Sure. I'll hear that. I'll listen to that and maybe agree, maybe I don't, but it's your opinion and you're entitled to have that, not make a definitive, you know, answer to this question. But my personal favorite game of the year is going to pick a game that I think was my favorite. I am not saying any of these games are better than others or better than other ones out there, better than your choices or the games that you played. These are just games that I thought I enjoyed, and out of all of them, what my favorite one is. So, didn't need to have to set that up, but, you know, this just category doesn't have a fun twist to it or anything. So, just to be clear about that. Nominees are Persona 3 Reload, Astrobot, Balatro, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and Animal Well. So, five nominees. But of all five, all games I thoroughly enjoyed, top to bottom, and would recommend you all play. But out of all of these games, the winner of the 2024 PAPA Personal Favorite Game of the Year goes to Balatro. Yep. Just a really good game. I try to weigh this with just going with my gut, not trying to go overly think about it, overly critical or anything. I didn't want to do necessarily just total play time, but, you know, what was that, like, addiction category mixed with play time, mixed with, like, charm and style, mixed with, you know, just something that kind of lingers in my head and stuff like that. You know, there's a bunch of reasons you can justify picking, you know, your favorite and all that stuff, but I was completely surprised by Balatro. It came out of left field. I think it's a unique story from like a developer standpoint. It's a, I think it's a one person team. I love like the pixelated art style, the soundtrack, the strange vibe, the really quick and twitch gameplay, the roguelike loop of it all, taking a concept of like that's familiar with poker, but like making like an enhanced and, you know, beyond what you'd expect iterated, you know, game out of it. It was just addicting. Like, you know, I wanted to kind of keep coming back to it over and over again. On my birthday, I had a couple friends over. You know, we were sitting around, playing a lot of different games, doing a lot of different things. And threw this on just to have some fun. And we ended up doing, like, I don't know, way too many runs, passing the controller around and everything. Did my friends get burned out? Maybe want to turn it off long before I did? Maybe. But it's my birthday, and that's what I wanted to do. And we just kept playing, and I had a great time with that. The other nominees, Persona, Astrobot, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Animal Well. Similar reasons that I shared and gushed about Balatro, like, came out of left field. It's an indie game, had really that cool, like, retro, like, visual charm, but just modern, like, aesthetics and style, like, that also was the one that came out of left field and surprised me, and I loved, especially as it got weirder as it went on, and it wasn't just this simple adventure game. There was more to it as you spent more time investing in it. But yeah, that's the Papas. Balatro, taking away the big trophy or whatever my awards are. I didn't like Photoshop anything. I probably should do that for the next year, and maybe have something kind of prepared for that. Maybe I'll even go crazy and, you know, mail out an award as if I am some type of prestigious award giver company. I wanted to say different words for all those things, but I kind of blanked out on what I wanted to say. You know, like the Academy of Movies. Well, man, what do they call them? Whatever. Hey, it's late. Finishing up recording this. You're getting a punch drunk Darren here. So appreciate y'all listening. Thank you for being a part of 2024. I took the idea of just, you know, making another video game podcast the world didn't need, but it gave me an excuse to talk to some great people and have some fun conversations. A pretty simple gimmick to just answer a question. Nothing too crazy, but hopefully it's giving you some kind of entertainment, and hopefully I continue to do it and you continue to enjoy it. So thank you all to a great 2024. Here's to a great 2025. And that being said, this is the end of the Papas, and we will move into the first episode of the new year, a conversation with my friend Jeff, and we'll jump into the goat game we never played and why. Thanks for listening. Bye. All right, welcome to another episode of the show. Jeff, it's been a minute. Oh, I meant to look up what the actual last episode you were on was.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think it was the music episode where we were talking about
soundtracks that stood out.
Soundtracks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so you were me and you talking about it, we're coworkers. If you go back and we listen to those old episodes, you helped kind of like inspire me and like, you know, basically make me want to just commit to doing like the game podcast and all that stuff. So, my concern was just making sure I, you know, could commit to it and stick to it consistently and everything. And I didn't put an episode out last week, even though I said I was going to, but I mean, it's holiday and all that stuff, you know, I don't think it's a big deal. So
you get a pass.
Yeah. I'm on like, this is going to be episode like 42 or 43 or something.
Dang. So, yeah. Let's go, bud.
Keep it rolling. So, original OG guest who helped kind of start it off. So thank you for, inviting the idea of coming back on and, helping me badger you to do it and follow up on it.
Heck yeah. I'm always down to talk games with you. Even though it seems like I'm not always down, I'm always down.
Down to clown. All right. Maybe not to clown, but I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
It could be
fine. I've never said that once, but you put those words in my mouth.
Yeah.
It's cool. We'll let it pass.
So then it's been a little while since you've been on. So don't have to like recap every game you've played, but what are some recent games that you've just, you've been enjoying? Like you literally were playing a game right prior to recording this. I didn't hear what.
I was playing a little bit of Deadlock. Deadlock currently is in alpha right now, and it's an invite only game. It's Valve's new game. That they're working on, and my friends are obsessed with it. So we have like a consistent group that plays almost every night. But I've taken a break for a while because I have another group of friends, my high school friends. We used to play Call of Duty all the time together, and it's been like 13 years since we played Call of Duty together. And this new one, for some reason, just got us all back on it. So we've been playing a ton of that. So really, I've just been playing games to be social. So it's just Deadlock, Marvel Rivals, which has been really, really fun, and Black Ops 6. But when it comes down to games I'm choosing for myself to play, we talked about this at work a little bit, but I've been playing 1,000 Times Resist right now. I'm on the third chapter and I love it. I can't wait to get back into it. So I'm taking my time with it. I've heard a lot of really great things about the storytelling, and so far I can say that they're all true and they're great, and you got to check it out sometime.
Yeah, I know that. And I'm going to probably tag it onto this episode. The thing I want to do was the Pixels and Polygon Awards, which I'm calling the Papas.
Ooh.
So I was going to share, like just some random things, but like games, best game I didn't get to play, but really want to, 1,000 Times Resist and UFO 50, are both like
high on that.
I haven't been able to play that just cause it's not available on, PlayStation, the console I am locked to out of biased fanboyism and everything.
PC Master.
But obviously all I have is the Mac though. I don't have a PC that I could play it on even if I had it. So
why don't you get a Steam Deck?
Oh yeah.
That's a thing, relatively that's a relatively cheap purchase. And you'll get access to pretty much everything. And you're a handheld guy. You like handheld games.
That's true. I mean, that would be something to do. And then that would eliminate like the need of like building and going crazy with hardware.
Yeah. And the LCD one, the LCD model goes on sale pretty often on online.
Well, you know what I would, I may consider that when they do. I know they've said they're not going to do like annual hardware updates. It's not going to be something to like, you know, but I still feel like there may be like a, whatever they do the next update internally, like hardware wise, I think that's when I'll consider a buy. That way I don't buy it now and then like a year from now it's upgraded and I feel like I'm shortchanged.
I will say that that console is small but mighty. It's I think I got through a lot of Cyberpunk on the Steam Deck itself. And that's a pretty beefy game, so
yeah, that's also one I need to play. Cool. Well, then, yeah, you caught us up on some recent games then. Is there a... yeah, so let's get into the icebreaker. I'll make this question up then. So I've just been thinking about like a lot of retro games and having finished like Dragon Quest 3 HD 2D remastered this year and everything. What's the oldest game that you played within, say, the last year, like 2024? You know, we're talking, you know, New Year's and resolutions and all that stuff. Thinking back on last year, what's the oldest game you've recently played?
The oldest game? Oh, that's a hard one. If it were up to remakes, I played through the Resident Evil 4 remaster remake and the Silent Hill 2. And they were both incredible. But I don't know if I have played anything that has gone farther back than that. I mean, maybe Sonic Adventure 2? Boring.
Did you play that recently?
Yeah, I had a Sonic Adventure 2. I just wanted to play the intro level. I think the City Escape level is sick. It's just for the music, for vibes. But that's no, I've been on that new. I've been on that new recently.
Well, I mean, I think we can count those remakes. I mean, you played the originals of both of those as well. So you know what they compared and contrast. I actually had questions about that Silent Hill 2 one. I heard that it wasn't just like one-to-one. There were some things that they did kind of do out of order. Like, did you notice anything that was like major out of order?
Or it's been so long since I played Silent Hill 2, so it felt like a new experience again to me. A lot, some of it definitely felt like familiar. It looks the way I thought it looked when I first played it, and I went back and saw footage of it, and whoa, it's rough. But, yeah, no, I loved it. It was great. And I think it wasn't too much for me.
Yeah, I want to go on like some Wikipedia dive or like see what the changes were, because if I played it, I've not played it since it was originally released and everything. So, you know, we're talking 20 years essentially. I wouldn't have noticed any of the changes. It would feel essentially like a brand new game. Same thing for me. So, but I'm just curious to know what was mixed up and changed up and everything. I do remember the rumor that like in the starting car, like James's wife, like could be in the trunk potentially or something like that. And, I was like, I wonder if they're going to do something like that in the remake where maybe you can see, or there's like a hint of that or anything. I don't think that was ever actually officially canon to it, because his wife had died, you know, much like, you know, it had been a year or two or something like that, or maybe longer in the game. So he wouldn't be cruising around with her body in a trunk for that long or anything.
I won't really give anything way for anyone who hasn't played it, but they did add a really cool Easter egg for that answers a couple questions just for a lot of longtime fans that like people had. So they did add a secret Easter egg.
Oh, cool.
And that was really exciting to experience.
Again, I will have to read about that online, because I'm too afraid to play a lot of horror games these days. And so
really, you get spooky? You get spooked?
Yeah, I think like that PS3 era, like with Dead Space and stuff like that, those are the last games that I could play and enjoy, like for like the thrills and horror of it all. Like since then, like, I don't know, there's just like an anxiety and a dread, and I just like, I just can't do it. Like trying to play Resident Evil, that first person one, this Resident Evil 7. Yeah.
And I couldn't even,
the demo like freaked me out and everything. And then when the full release came out,
through PT, when PT came in.
Yeah. PT, that was super creepy. It was like,
iconic. So good.
I kept wanting to break that one out and play that when new people would be over to like show them what it is, but also just so I didn't have to play it by myself. It was like, here, you take the controller.
I do believe that horror games are much more fun with people.
I think what helps me like can think about it is like from a game design standpoint, like you get limited weapons and limited ammo and all that stuff, but that's by design. You're not going to throw 1,000 monsters that you can't defeat or anything, you know. So like I try and like logically put like a game designer hat on while playing it, and you know, maybe I'll be less like like the anxiety will and dread and all stuff will kind of dissipate.
Yeah.
But like,
you just got to look at it as a study for you. You got to trick yourself.
I just haven't been able to do it in a while. And yeah, I don't know.
I will say, small tangent, when it comes to horror games, my roommates, the way that we bond together is to find a random horror game online and play together. And I will say, I have a long list. So if anyone wants to hear it, hit me up. And I'll give you a good long co-op horror list.
Yeah, co-op could maybe change it up a little bit.
And, yeah, I've become a connoisseur.
Yeah, cool. All right, well then, I think that counts as the oldest game you've most recently played. Those two remakes count.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, then we'll get into the main episode topic. I like this question. It's been a minute since we've got to ask this question. We've asked a version of this question, but this one is a different slant. It's the what is a GOAT game you've never played and why? So, you know, GOAT for all you, the older audience out there, a greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time.
Caliber game. So this doesn't necessarily be, I mean, obviously this is one you've never played, but like obviously one you like critically or culturally that we hear about a lot as like one of those like must play experiences. You know, we don't have time to play every game ever made, so we've missed some games, but yeah, what is one that's, you know, people consider a GOAT game that you've never played?
For me, I think when I think about the biggest GOAT game that is, that I hear that is a 10 out of 10 that I have never played is, for me, it's got to be Ocarina of Time on the N64. Yeah, I've never played it. I even like listen to the music. I get down to it. I think it's cool, but I just missed the boat on that. I had a Nintendo 64 at the time as well. And I missed it. Yeah, I missed the train. I really didn't finish a Zelda game until, until Breath of the Wild. That was my first finished Zelda game.
Wow. I mean, you played others, but that was just the first one you
I played others. Yeah, I've gotten pretty far. Twilight Princess. I got that at launch with the Wii. And a few others I have like dipped into, but I've never finished that game.
That's crazy. So you said you had a 64 at the time. Like what were you playing then that maybe
my classics were Goemon's Adventure, Mystical Ninja, you know? Mm-hmm. and what were my classics? Conker's Bad Fur Day. I just missed a few games. I did play and beat Mario 64, and I still think that game's incredible.
Yeah, I love Mario 64. I had that.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Just shortly after lunch with my 64, yeah.
Yeah, but Smash Brothers, all that kind of stuff, I just missed it. Never played it. Oh, what is yours? What is your big gap?
Yeah, I mean, I answered this before, and I think when we did this episode last, I shared Half-Life 2.
Yeah,
that was one that I started over. I think I got it cheap on Steam, started up on PC, played it for a little bit when I had a PC years ago. I just never committed to it. And then when that Orange Box collection came out on like 360 with like Portal and everything, I was like all stuck on Portal and could care less about anything else in the package, but did eventually try and start it up and was like, oh yeah, this is a game. I should play through this. And then didn't get past more than an hour and just never ever went back. And like now it's just, I feel like it's too late. Like, obviously, yeah, like it's a game that like inspired many other games, but like I've already played like those games or those continuations or iterations upon like that genre, essentially.
And let's be honest, do you really want to start that game when you know that they're never going to come out with episode 3?
And that doesn't help either. Yeah, so that's just like I wouldn't want to like, it's like trying to tell somebody to watch Lost, the greatest television show of all time, knowing like, you know, there wasn't a final season or something like that, you know, because it ended perfectly. And I'm not being facetious, it's a perfect show. But that is my GOAT game from the last episode. So I will share, and I'm all like, just kind of expand on your same answer. I've actually never played, Majora's Mask, Legend of Zelda. So
I've played quite a bit of that one.
Ocarina of Time. I always say Ocarina. It's not a killer whale. Ocarina of Time. my best friends and, you know, growing up, like, him and his brother, like we forever played games for all of our ages. They've both been on the show actually, but, I had already gotten rid of my Nintendo 64 and had a PlayStation at the time, but they were always the Nintendo household. So they had the 64. So we, once, the Ocarina came out, like we played through that. Like we'd have, you know, weekend sleepovers and we'd just be pouring in countless hours. Like we absorbed and found all the nooks and crannies and did, you know, everything within that game. And I think by the time Majora's Mask came out, I had moved from living out, you know, in the Arizona area where I was at the time, and I'd moved to Southern California. And so, I didn't have anybody in my like new circle there that was like a big Nintendo 64 fan. It was just all kind of PlayStation stuff. And that's all I had was a PlayStation. So I never got to experience that. And, I mean, just like, it has like a darker edge to it and it seems like one that I would absolutely love, but, I just never had the time to do that. And then, just a few years later on the GameCube, they did like this Legend of Zelda, like collector's disc.
Oh yeah.
And it had,
with the Master Quest right?
And everything. Mm-hmm. And then I think that one had Majora's Mask. If not, then it was that, there was like that. No. There was a pre-order bonus, I think, for Wind Waker. That was Ocarina and the Master Quest by itself. But then there was a collector's edition one that I think had Zelda 1 and 2. And then maybe was Majora's Mask on GameCube? Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But either way, I didn't play it then. If it was available, mm-hmm. I still thought about it maybe, but never actually did ultimately. And then the 3DS had that remake of it. Not remake.
Yes,
but
yeah.
It
was kind of that's what I was going to bring up. Yeah.
Yeah. Remastered E-ish remake. And by that time I had had my, Nintendo defining moment where I walked away from Nintendo and never returned. We had my wife and I were going to a laundromat. We lived in, you know, just barely getting by, young adults and everything. So we were going to the laundromat to do our laundry, filled up a couple baskets, threw them in the trunk of the car, grabbed the 3DS. She had the Legend of Zelda special edition. Like 3DS Gold with the Triforce on it. I just had a regular one, but threw them both in the laundry hamper as well. You know, just like, hey, they'll be soft. It won't like break or anything at all. They're in the clothes. Drove to the laundromat, got there, wanted to throw the loads in as quickly as I can so I can start playing some of the Street Pass games or whatever it was I was obsessed with at the time. Dumped all the clothes in there, started the laundry, went and sat down. I kind of looked around like, wait, where's the 3DS is at? Like, oh shoot. They're in the washing machine. Like they're in the clothes and I dumped it in there. So I immediately pulled them out, both dripping with water, both completely instantly broken. And I was like, no. And
my gosh,
couldn't revive them. Couldn't do anything. And then I was like, okay, so what do I do? Like I have to buy a new one and then I can like sign into my Nintendo account or something and download all my stuff again. No, you couldn't do that. Your Nintendo account was linked to that system.
Yes. Yeah. They're very backwards about that stuff.
Yeah. You could only transfer it if you were like upgrading or changing a system and had one-to-one both functioning to transfer data over.
Yeah. So what? Like, how awful.
I was like, no, my thing's broken. You know, what are you talking about? I can't transfer data, obviously. And that I was currently in the middle of the obsession. I was playing Shin Megami Tensei 4. And then I had all of like those four initial like Street Pass games where you were like Mii Force was like the shooter one where you'd get people to help be like bonus weapons.
Oh yeah, I remember those.
There was like a gardening one where you'd just like grow flowers and everything and your friends would help you like water more. Like there's four different games and I just loved all four of them. I would constantly be playing those. Like every day I'd be bringing my 3DS, getting all the Street Pass tags I could get. And like this all came grinding to a halt there. And then because I couldn't re-download, couldn't access the data again, couldn't do anything to get any of my stuff or saves back. Like it was just like,
they lost the customer, bro.
Yeah. I think I'm out here, Nintendo. Like I'm off this train. So, not long after that, Majora's Mask.
That's a valid, feeling. I feel your frustration. I've been through something like that before.
It wasn't too long after that Majora's Mask 3DS version, like was released. And I was like, I for sure would have like, played it. This would have been my time to finally personally like play through this game and enjoy it and everything. And so because of that, that's part of the why the laundromat incident that water damaged our systems, why I never got to play Majora's Mask. I don't know. Awful. I mean, I could always go back, you know, sometime, but there's just
too many games. They hurt you.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo. We own a Switch. We have a Switch in the home, but I'm always clear to say it's my wife's Switch or it's the family's Switch. Mm-hmm. And like, if my kids want to buy a game for it, whatever, that's sure. They're using their money. They're buying a game. Like, I'm not playing anything on there. In my mind, it's not there. It's not available. It's not an option to play a game on. Like, it's not my system at all. And I don't want to put a profile on there. I don't want to like start putting my toe in that Nintendo camp again. They hurt you, buddy. Yeah. So that's my goat, Majora's Mask. Would you ever think you'd find yourself going back to play that Ocarina of Time?
I don't know, man. I think I've tried multiple times to play the game, but we've come so far, you know. We've come so far in video games, and I think that era specifically, it is very tough to go back and replay. A lot of old classic NES games, Sega Genesis games, even games older than that, I think hold up still pretty decently, especially like side scrollers. But something about the early PS1, early Nintendo 64 games are a little rough, in my opinion.
Those first gen 3D things are definitely
polygonal.
I got some. Yeah, you have to have the nostalgia to like be able to like see through that.
For sure. I love the aesthetic of it, and that aesthetic is coming back in some of newer Steam titles, indie PC titles I've been playing, that kind of polygonal art, which I really, really love. That aesthetic is coming back, but just the way the game feels, it's tough.
Cool. Well, that's that. We did the episode.
Heck yeah.
That's the question. So that's all I've got. Do you want to plug anything or share anything? Or
no, I'm just really excited to be back talking video games with you. Thanks for having me on again.
We'll have you on much sooner again for the next episode.
Heck yeah. Sounds good.
All right, cool. Have a good one, Jeff.
Later.